Hello and welcome to Hope for the Nation, an inspirational broadcast designed to converse with those who are closely associated with the cause of our campaign by highlighting what they provide from a professional perspective. Welcome to the show. I'm Trent Darby, your host, and it is indeed a pleasure for me to use my voice to provoke change in a positive manner. The community needs it. The state needs it. More importantly, the nation needs it. Hey, my guest today is a Central State University grad in 2003 and obtained her master's degree in 2009 from a North Carolina Agricultural and Technical State University. She is a mental health counselor for adults and children. She is Jamisha Wilson Knight. How are you doing? Thanks so much for being here on Hope for the Nation.
Thank you so much for having me, Trent. I'm doing really well.
Well, Ms. Wilson Knight, give us a bit of your background leading up to your present role as mental health counselor as we delve into other areas.
Okay. So I was born and raised in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. I'm the oldest of four, one sister and two brothers. We were raised in the church, and my biological father had the keys to the church, so we were there in the morning and in the evening most of the week. And what else? I think, did you want me to talk about Central or just kind of?
Well, we're going to get to that because you are a proud alumnus. That's a perfect segue there.
Yes.
Expound on your experiences of being a student at this historical HBCU institution.
Okay, so I went to the Central State University for God, for Central and the State. I graduated in 2004. And I actually had the honor of wearing the title of Miss Central State University for 2003-2004. And while I was there, being the queen, I was able to be a leading example for my peers and for my family back at home. And I modeled for them what it looked like to authentically balance various roles in my life. And my biggest challenge was learning who I was and who I wasn't, and giving myself the same non-judgmental space to grow while staying spiritually grounded.
You know, that was quite an honor. And, you know, I was just thinking 2003, 2004, around in that area, my youngest daughter graduated from Central State University.
Nice.
Talk a little bit about, you know, because some people can't handle success very well. But you look like, you know, you have your head on a swivel. And, you know, there was a bit of humbleness that I hear in your voice because you took that role. And talk a little bit about how humble you were being honored as such.
Well, so for me, it was amazing. It was definitely a humbling experience because that's actually where I met Bishop Lee. Before I was the queen, I was actually the president for Fellowship of Christian Students. So my heart has always been to serve people. And even though I was the queen, I was the face of the community, they elected me. And so I wanted to make sure that whoever the student saw and whatever dignitaries or the president saw was somebody that would exemplify God, exemplify the heart of God, the love for God. So yes, I had to stand and introduce people like Bill Cosby, but I also, you could see me sitting on the plot or in the library encouraging people or, you know, saying, hey, how are you, having conversations. So not having the office of being Miss Central State be so untouchable, really just we are all together. This is an experience for all of us to love and grow and speak beyond just Central State.
Jamisha Wilson Knight is my guest today on Hope for the Nation. You know, let's talk a little bit about your family life, because it's kind of tough for some of those trying to balance life at home along with your career. Talk a little bit about that.
Okay. So I am a mom of three, all under the age of 10. My 9-year-old will be 10 at the end of this month. I have a 4-year-old and a 3-year-old, and I call my husband King. And I work, and I'm actually, because after COVID, I'm a telehealth therapist. So I work from home. So in the morning, we get up, we take the kids to school. I come back, I'll do my notes for work. I'll meet with my clients. I'll touch up on some of my schoolwork, and then I'll be off to school. And then I'll come back, do food or dinner with the children, with the family. We'll do homework. I'll do my homework. We'll do bath and bed. I'll do a little bit more homework. Spend time with my husband, and then I'll try to wrap it up and then do it all over again the next day.
That's fantastic. I mean, that's not easy to do, that's for sure. Now, Jamish, I wanted to jump to this because I grew up in the Miami Valley area, and I have you by a number of years, that's for sure. I've noticed that the mental state of mind, not just from adults, but children as well, has changed drastically. We've had the likes of terrorist attacks. We've had riots, Capitol uprising on January the 6th. We have school shootings. I had an athlete, in fact, a pro football player that, actually took out a young lady and her pet going 156 miles an hour. I have a car. Mine don't even go to 100. I just the 156 just blows my mind. But since that's your area of expertise, kind of expound a little bit where the overall mental state of mind is.
So the overall state of mind for everyone, including helping professionals, which would be myself, therapists, teachers, yourself, because you're serving in a capacity where you're interacting with people, we are all overdone, not even past done. So then it becomes up to myself and those in my field to create a space for people to just be. It's called mindfulness, right? So being aware of where you are, being honest about the things that you feel. A lot of times people, when COVID first happened, people were trying to get back to normal. But there is no normal, right? This is not even the new normal. This is a renewed experience. It's almost like when the volcano erupts, and the lava comes down, and then the area is wiped out, and then the lava dries, right? And it becomes volcanic ash, and it becomes the most fertile ground ever. I feel like that's where we are. And that's what I promote to not just my clients, but to the people around me. I encourage them to get present to what they're feeling, not just in their head, but in their body, and communicate. So that's communicating with themselves, right? Being honest with themselves, being honest with the people around them, with their jobs, right? We have the opportunity now to work from home where it wasn't allowed before. So learning how to advocate for yourself, taking your sick or vacation days, spending time with your family, because from one second to the next, people could be gone, right? So acknowledging God where he is, acknowledging that he's given us an opportunity to love and grow and be together and exemplify greatness in peace. And peace doesn't always mean just being quiet. It may seem like a war on the inside because it's uncomfortable, right? Well, especially like I come from Philadelphia. It's a war going on in Philadelphia. People are dying every day. So if I'm not mindful, then I would end up being sick. So I have to be mindful and encourage others to be mindful of how they move, how they breathe, what they eat, how they dance, who they talk to, who they don't talk to, what they will allow in the space of a day.
That's well spoken, and I tell you, appreciate the context along with the narrative away. You know, you're currently pursuing your doctorate degree, so delve into how you are able to juggle those responsibilities and still be productive at home and career, because now it breaks off into three fragments, and then pretty soon, next time I talk to you, it'll be doctor.
Yes, absolutely. So, well, thank you for asking, right? And then it's an amazingly intense experience where I have to learn how to ask for help and continue to ask for help. And it will morph in different ways on different days. So I have class 3 days out of the week. Monday and Thursday is 3 to 6. On Tuesday is 3 to 9. So my husband is is a really big support. I have people that I call my heart allies. I touch base with them just to keep myself encouraged. And then I have my cohort, this other six people that came into the program with me. And I'm actually getting a PhD in rehabilitation counseling and counselor education. So it's pretty much doing what I'm talking to you about right now.
We have a few moments here. I wanted to jump to this, Jamaisha. Tell us how you became involved with the Hope for the Nation campaign and your dialogue with Bishop Howard Lee.
Okay. So my Dr. Lee, or Bishop Lee, is my spiritual dad. I actually met him when I was at Central State, and he became over the Fellowship of Christian Students. And we worked closely together. We lost touch, and then we found each other again. And I was actually ordained as one of the reverends, a part of the Global Christian Network. And so that's how I'm connected to the Hope for the Nation campaign.
Okay. Well, if someone is touched by your words here during our broadcast, how can someone reach out to you on social media?
So it's my name. It's Jamitia. C. Wilson-Knight. I think that's my handle. I don't have Twitter, but I do have Facebook and I have Instagram. And you just let me know, hey, I heard you on the radio. I would like to correspond. Usually I'll follow up with the messages before I invite somebody to come in and talk to me. Oh, well, be my friend, per se.
All right, Jamaisha. Thanks so much for taking the time to talk with us today. It's such an honor for me to be a part of the worthy cause, and along with your educational savant, as added to the campaign that will only enhance our long-term goals for that campaign. Thanks again, and we'll be talking to you down the road.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Trent. You have a wonderful afternoon.
All right. Thank you. I'm Trent Darby. Hey, thanks for listening, and join us next time for Hope for the Nation.
Today, and mothers, you've been crying much too long.